Thank you for downloading this podcast from CFC Jesus Ministries of Christian Fellowship Church in Chicago, Illinois. Support for this podcast comes from your generous gifts and donations. To find out more about CFC Jesus Ministries or our church, please visit www.cfcjesus.org.
We have been on this journey for such a long, long time, some of us together for 30, 40 years plus, and Pastor Gil and Tony have been on that journey, and we just realize that our goal is heaven and home and just the presence of God here with us. And so, you know, we want to continue to worship even as the Spirit overwhelms us. There's so many things going on. Most of you know by now when services are. The wake will be held on Wednesday evening, visitation from 4 to 8. Please be so mindful of our guests and give them opportunities and be so gracious and so kind with our parking. If you can carpool, if you can do things like that, that will help us. We also need cases of water, things like that. We won't be having food, but except for cookies and water, things like that. Also, we're going to be officiating, Pastor Ken and I and Debbie, a life celebration service on Thursday morning at 10 a.m. And so pray for all of us. Also, please pray for our mother, who we have a critical need right now. So pray for our mother also. Did you get my airdrop? Okay, I was just wondering something. This morning we want to share a message because we know that Pastor Gil would want that. He would want the word to go forth. That's who he was. He wouldn't want us to stop. He wouldn't want us to miss a beat, but keep going. And this morning our topic that we've chosen is that I believe in miracles, and I know that Pastor Gil believed in miracles. And as he prayed for people, he's seen many miracles throughout his life. And I want to tell you that the reason we're talking about this, I'm not going to ask you the question, do you need a miracle? How about if I tell you you need a miracle in your life? How about if I just say that? And I can share with you that during the past week, I've been to two hospitals, a funeral home, a cemetery, and a police station. So I'm going to tell you that you need miracles, not ask. And you're not sitting here in church because you're killing time. I used to think people just came to church because they just thought it was obligation, finish out your week. You're here because life is hard and you need Jesus to make it through. That's why you're here, because we need the cross, we need the blood. And you know, I say to myself all the time, and I'm going to say it to you, I don't just need salvation, I need the Savior. I don't just need healing, I need the healer, I need Him. It's not good enough to say, you know, I don't just need God to provide for me and send me $1 million, I need the provider. I need Him. It's all about Him. So it's better for us to seek the God of miracles than to seek the miracle. It's better for us to seek His face than to seek what He can do for us. And we see miracles in the Old Testament. We see them in the New Testament. And right now, Mark 11:22 says, have faith in God. How simple is that? Why don't we take God at His word? You know, it's interesting to me, and I know I've said this, so throw tomatoes, do whatever you got to do. Before, I've said that so many of us have more faith that the chair will hold us up than we do that God will uphold us with His right hand. We seem to have faith in so many other things, and people say, well, why don't I receive my miracle? Because God is not moved by need. He's moved by faith. And what we have is misplaced faith. I've put my faith in the chair. I've put my faith in the doctor. I've put my faith in the banker. I've put my faith in the lawyer. He can save me. He can get me out. And it doesn't happen that way. Only God can. So that's what we're talking about today. If you need a miracle, I want to say that there is one available for you today, for your situation. Pastor Ken?
Amen. God is still on the throne, isn't He? Praise God. No matter what we go through, I'm just amazed at the grace and the mercy and how amazing that God is. What a week to test our faith, to test our emotions. What a testament that we're still here worshiping. That we just keep coming, that we just keep... It must really throw Satan off to see people continuing to love God and continuing to trust God. I was thinking about... Of course, I've been doing lots of praying this week for so many things. And of course, the Brother Gil thing is been largely on my mind. But as I have allowed my mind to think about things, I was thinking about if you were in a factory and you're walking through this factory and everything's fine and you walk through a door and you walk into a room that toxic chemicals were being released. As soon as you walked into the room, you breathed some sort of just something that is you could tell this is toxic. Whatever, some sort of sulfur smell or bleach smell or something was way off. What would your first reaction of your body be and your mind? You would say, get out. You would immediately leave that place. And that's the natural human reaction. That's the human body. The human mind, we need to do the same thing. That you can walk through doors in your mind and all of a sudden you're in a very toxic environment. That you allow your thoughts to go places that they shouldn't go. And you, our response needs to be the same response that we have to sin and anything else. Absolutely no, I got to get out of this room. I got to get out of this place. I got to get out of this mindset. And isn't it interesting that the instructions that we are given when we go through hard times is to keep praising, to keep trusting, that in everything that we give thanks. So, nothing that I'm saying, I mean it to be prophetic, and nothing that I'm saying, I mean it to be super spiritual. But I do believe that God gives us images of things. So I'm not making this a super spiritual thing. But what I feel is that often we are like people walking in dark woods with flashlights. We walk in darkness because the world is in darkness, but we walk with flashlights because we have the Word of God. But what I see in that is those same people walking in darkness with flashlights, they don't realize it, but they're walking towards a large clearing where the sun is. That we the sun. And Pam, this is not, we were talking about people come to church because they say it's the last day, and that might be our mindset, but this isn't the last day, it's the first day. And this is the day of communion. This is the day where we look not only back at what Jesus has done, but more importantly, we look forward. What a promise he made. That last communion, how holy that was. And I remember I met a pastor several years after my father had passed. And he said, you know, your father was sharing with me right before he passed that God had given him a revelation of the Lord's table, of communion. And that Dad was so excited talking about that he was seeing the holiness of it and the beauty of it. And I wish I could see that. I wish I had that revelation. We tend to see this and say, well, here's a man-made container and here's some grape juice, and I wish I could see what my dad saw, but more importantly, I wish I could see what Jesus was trying to convey to his disciples when he said, this is the last time I'm taking communion until, now you guys take communion, but the next time I take communion will be in heaven with my family, with everybody. So this communion not only looks past at the back, at the past, what Jesus did on the cross, but maybe more importantly, this is like the wedding supper. This is like looking forward to that meal, looking forward to an incredible meal that we all have. And I know that we're going to have many things to say at the funeral, and of course, everyone just has. Our brother Gil was such a man of faith. And I don't mean to embarrass Debbie. But Debbie has always been a hero of mine. Brother Gil said to me one time, it was right after my father died. I should not be doing this. I'm going off on a bunny trail. I'll finish this thought and hand it off. Because I can tell I'm... What I said about walking through rooms and you go to the wrong place, you got to get out. I got to get out of this room. Brother Gil said to me one time, after my father had died, he said, "You know, Pastor Ken, the whole church is watching you and Pastor Pam, to see if God's grace is sufficient. Because you lost your father. Is God's grace sufficient?" And that applies to Debbie and her family, that so many eyes on Debbie. And I already know that she has passed the test 1,000 times. And I believe that, Debbie, I believe that God has such good things in store for you. And I'm so excited for the next 20 years to take that journey with you and see what God does in your life.
That's the most wonderful thing. It's the most comforting thing that we can walk this through this life together. And I think the greatest promise is the one of Jesus: "I'll never leave you or forsake you." And that's one of the things that I could say about Pastor Gil. He never left me. He never abandoned me. He loved, I remember him saying one time, I love Jesus. I love my wife and family. And I love this church. And I remember it, and I'm so blessed by it. And, you know, he has received his miracle. We're talking about miracles today, but he longed to be healed. He longed to dance and run, and he's received his miracle. And the rest of us are still what we would call contending for our miracle. And sometimes we receive miracles here, and sometimes we receive them there, and I don't care because God is faithful, and I'm going to trust him. You know, so many people live as if they don't believe that God is a miracle worker God. And he is. And the worst thing of all is that Satan lies to us and tells us there's no hope, there's no help, there's no way out of this situation for you. You're in a bad spot, and there's no way out of this for you. But he is a liar, Satan. The one thing the Bible tells us is he is a liar. And here's the thing about his lies. If someone's lying, I get it. But if you're lying to me and you know the truth, the devil knows there's a heaven and he knows there's a hell. Don't tell me there's no cake, there's no blessing in the fridge, if you know there is already. And you just don't want me to know. And the enemy, the Bible says that the enemy slanders the dwelling place of God. Did you know that that is a scripture, that he slanders heaven and the dwelling place of God? And he wants you, you know why? Because he was cast out of there because of rebellion. And he wants to deceive you and I, but I don't believe the lie. I believe in God. I believe that miracles are still for today. I see them in the Old, the New Testament. And here's the thing. Some people don't believe in miracles because they don't believe in God. But the second thing is, some who believe in God still don't believe because they don't believe he's who he says he is, that he's a really good God. And here's something that I keep thinking about. Some people actually believe that God could heal. They've seen him heal. They know God's power. They know that God healed my neighbor of cancer and my best friend of cancer. But here's the thing. They don't believe in God's love for them and that God could heal, but he won't. Some people believe that God is a superstitious God, kind of like witchcraft, that he randomly heals whoever he wants to. Hey, let's throw the dice. Maybe Frieda will get healed. Maybe she won't. You know, we'll pray, but that's not the prayer of faith. That's not confidence. I know that God has provided these things. And here's the situation in my life. And you can say that I'm sacrilegious or I'm just a horrible person, but I do not want to serve a God who tells me in his word that he can heal, he will heal, that he could, but he will not do that. That he will not do that. I trust in God. I trust, and Pastor Gil would want me to say this, that we still believe in miracles. If there's a situation, many times it's in the area of us receiving it. When having done all stand, it's up to, we have a responsibility to partner with God for our miracle, to believe the word, to stand on the word, to trust in him. Mark 16, 17, and 18 says, and by the way, this is what I want in my life. And these signs will follow them who believe. Not those who say they believe. Those who really believe in their heart. In my name, the name of Jesus, they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. That's us. They shall take up serpents. Take up the serpent. If they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. And this is my favorite. They shall lay hands on the sick, and the sick will recover. On Monday night, we were called to Debbie's house. To be in obedience, she called out for the elders of the church to come, and Pastor Ken and I went. And we laid hands on Pastor Gil, and as I was by his bed, I felt like God say, go ahead, do a Lazarus, pray that he be raised up. Pray that he be resurrected from this sick bed and he be raised up where he can dance and run and leap. And that's the prayer I prayed. And I got a call at 5 o'clock in the morning that he was resurrected and raised up from his sick bed and that he's now dancing on streets of gold and walking and leaping and doing things that he could not do for years and years and years. And how can I say, I wish it weren't so, God? I just can't. So, yes, we believe in miracles.
It's such bittersweet. There's part of me that wants to say, let's preach a message on joy. And I feel like that would be appropriate. But there's also that part of us that our heart is broken. So that's the bittersweet of it. But we believe in God just as firm as we can. And we believe that God is watching over all of us, that he's protecting us. And as Brother Hagin said, Satan can't take anyone out before their time, you know. And how many times has God raised up Brother Gil? How many times has God raised all of us up and saved us from those accidents because it wasn't our time? They tried to kill Jesus before his time, but it wasn't his time. But we also recognize that there is a point in unto man wants to die, which is a day of great joy. You know, if Brother Gil could talk to all of us now, he would just say, do you want a race? Thank God that in heaven that he wipes away all tears, that we're given new bodies. He makes his face to shine on us. And when you do walk out into the sun and it's just the warmth of the sun is on you. That's the picture that God has in the Bible, that God shines his face upon us. He shines his favor upon us. He pours out his love upon us. Tony, thank you for the worship this morning. And more importantly, you know, when Tony was sitting there on the ground and he said, I'm fine, this is the Holy Spirit, this is worship. Thank you for allowing yourself to even go there. Just like you can say no to sin and you can say no to the toxic room where you walk in the room and then you smell bleach or something or asparagus. And you walk out, but you walk out of those places. But when the Holy Spirit is drawing us in, sometimes we push back because it's a place we don't want to go. Because we recognize that if I go to this place, I may end up on the floor. And sometimes we don't want to end up on the floor, but sometimes we need to end up on the floor. The floor is a good place to be because you can't fall. He that comes to God must believe, this is Hebrews, must believe that he is a rewarder, that he is. I got to read it right. He that comes to God must believe that he is. Right, and that he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. You know, Pam has said so often that even though people say they believe in heaven or hell, she's always questioned whether or not they actually believe in heaven or hell. I just want our eyes to be open to the reality of the spirit realm and the heavenly realm, which you cannot really separate from the spiritual realm. I love music, and I love worship music, and it always stays in my head all week. But this morning, when they said we're doing all the Spanish songs, which I love those songs, but I was looking at the words, and I'm like, I don't know any of these songs, because all it was is just words, Spanish words, that, you know, I could have been Huckleberry Finn. I have no idea what is on that page. And so, but when we start the song, right, immediately I go, I know that. It's the melody that I know, not the words, but it's the melody. And we're all that way, right? There's songs that will come into your mind that you haven't thought of for 20 years, but it's still there. It's still there. You recognize the song. And I had this wonderful thought this morning. If that's true of us, if we recognize, oh, I recognize that. Oh, yeah, yeah, that's Jehovah Nissi. I forgot. Okay. Yeah, that's the good one. I like that one. If we do that, if we recognize songs, so does Satan. And it, I mean, come on. He comes. If Satan comes to church, which I'm sure he stops in once in a while, he hears this worship that. If God makes his face to shine upon us, it's us turning the flashlight on and saying, we are sending this up to heaven. We are sending this praise right up to the throne room of heaven, just telling God how amazing that he is. And we didn't sing it this morning, but I love that song. It's such a simple song. He's a good, good father. Because he is. He's just a good father. Now, of course, he's amazing, he's great, he's fantastic, he's over the top. But in addition to being over the top, he is at his core just a very good, very loving father. And you know what? You can't beat that. You can't beat that. Imagine a universe with no God. There's no hope. There is no hope. But imagine a universe with God, and if there's a God, he's got to be the God he is, that God is light, that God is love. That's the only way that God could be, to create, that's the only thing that he can be. And yes, he is a miracle-working God for every area of our life, and maybe the most important area of your life is the battlefield of the mind, that in your mind, that we choose to think on whatever is lovely, whatever is pure, whatever is of a good. You realize that you can eat whatever you want. I can say I have made for you a sous vide steak with a baked potato and green beans and cornbread, and I'm offering that to you, or I also have a bunch of poisons. Now, you go, well, no one would eat the poisons. But that's exactly what people do on the internet every day. There's these wonderful websites with wonderful things of what people are doing. And there's the Word of God. There's steak out there. There are so many things we can feed on that would feed your mind and feed your heart and feed your spirit and cause you to realize the truth. But there's also a bunch of rat poison out there that if you feed on it, you are what you eat, you know. And so I love confusing Satan when he throws his worst at us, and we just come in and we say, we want to just thank God for his incredible blessings. Satan's like, what? We just chose to eat the things of God and not the things of this world. Oh, I wanted to share the one last thing. The story of Lori, which is just a story. I love miracles that actually, you know, that we know about. You know, it's one thing but I like miracles that we know about. And Pam had shared with me, and she shared this with the church, but I just wanted to remind everyone about the woman that was, she couldn't have any children. And she was thinking about adopting. She was thinking about all these different things. And she couldn't have children. And Pam just got bold with her and said, you know, you are going to have children. You're going to get pregnant. And a few months later, the doctor said, there's two children that are going to be born. So she was having twins. So God is the life bringer. And that's what Jesus said, that he brings life. That Satan brings destruction, but God is the maker of all life.
I really believe that sometimes we do not contend for our miracles. We do not stand for our miracles. We do not believe like we say we believe. And, you know, one of the things that I'm going to be sharing, I'll just give you one line out of my notes for Thursday. One line. And I actually heard Pastor Gill say this. I would rather die in faith than live in unbelief. There you go. There you go. That's how strong we should have faith in God. I would rather die in faith than live in unbelief. And we should get to that place. You know, when the devil tells me that Jesus doesn't heal cancer, he's just simply too late. You came too late. I don't just know one person healed of cancer, but like Wanda back there of stage 4 cancer, I know about 21 people who are healed of cancer. But no one gets healed unless they contend and believe in the word and come to Jesus, because that's who the healer is. We have to go to Jesus. Not many doctors will tell you, you know, by his stripes you are healed. We go to Jesus. We go to the source of all healing is Jesus. And here's the thing. God keeps his promises. He has given his word and he keeps his promises. Maybe not the way you want him. He may not do it like you think he ought to do it. He is God and I am not. He may not do it in the exact time you want him to do it in, but when you call on Jesus, he always, always comes and he always answers. Here's what 2 Peter 3:9 says. The Lord is not slow. And don't ever say God is taking his sweet time. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness, not like you think, slowness. Instead, he is patient with you. Be patient with us, God. Not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. God is a patient God, a kind God, and he is a God of just on time, right in time, every time, all the time. He is the one who, he does not operate off of that clock back there that needs AA batteries. He operates off of heaven's divine clock that is run by the power of the Holy Spirit. And that God will do what he wants, when he wants, but he is moved by faith and he wants us to declare it and to decree it. You know, Lori's testimony is so good, because when she came for prayer on Thanksgiving, she had turned down in vitro fertilization because her parents were Catholic and they said, we don't agree with this. And she said, okay, then I'm not going to do that. And she said, but I got a problem. And I'm desperate. I'm getting older. She was definitely getting older and could not. And the doctor said she could not conceive. It was done. It was over. But she said, I think you believe. I thought that was the strangest thing, but she had met Pastor Ken and I at her wedding. And I said, I do. So I invited her to my house. And that's when she told me, I come from a family of 10 siblings. I don't just want an only child. That's not fair. She said, I want more children. And I said, well, let's pray. And just, I didn't pray for twins. I have allergies. I'm negative. I have allergies. But I'm just telling you, it was a few weeks later, and all of a sudden, she called screaming, I am pregnant. A few weeks later, she called, I am having twins. God is real. He's who he says he is. That's what she said. He's who he says he is. And she told everyone how she prayed and asked God. And that's what I'm going to do, pray and ask God for my miracle. I'm believing for miracles. How many of you would just lift your hand and tell God, I do believe and I do need a miracle? I'm going to receive that miracle. Why not go for broke? Why not just go step out in faith and say, over here, God, I believe.
Well, I remember Brother Gil sharing one time about a man that I think he was deaf, but I'm not sure what the sickness was, but Brother Gil had asked him, has anyone ever prayed with you about this before? And the man said, no, never. And that was the lesson, that they had never even thought about praying about it. So we should pray about everything. Paul talked about, it's better for you. He talked about the difference between heaven and hell. I mean, between heaven and earth. And he knew he wanted to go to heaven, but he knew he had to stay. So he knew there was a time that it's better to be in heaven than to be on earth. But he also knew that God had a plan for him and that he had to stay for a short time. That is your situation and my situation. It is better for every one of us to go to heaven. There is no one that's ever gotten to heaven that said, would you mind if I go back for another few years? They're like, oh, no, I've arrived. This is, Yeah, this is home. Yeah, this is home. So there's no one that's ever regretted that. Even Stephen in the Bible. What you want to know what happens when you die? Look at what Stephen said. Stephen, he's about to be martyred. They're going to be stoned because he preached about Jesus. And as they are picking up the rocks to kill him in a few minutes, he saw something. And what he saw contradicts the Bible. Watch this. This is so cool. The Bible says Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father. Stephen said, he's standing. Come on now. Come on now. And I believe that Brother Gil he'll tell you what he saw someday, but he won't have to because you'll say, well, I saw it too. I saw it too. David said, when I open my eyes, I will be satisfied. Satisfied isn't a word, David. What Paul said, eye has not seen, and ear has not heard, and the mind has not conceived the things of God that he has prepared for you. I guarantee you that everyone in this room will say this next line at some point in the future. Everyone here. No matter how good you imagine heaven to be, no matter how perfect we preach on it, and you have an incredible understanding of the power and the beauty and the love and the joy, no matter how much you think you understand heaven, I promise you one day you'll say, I knew it was going to be good, but I never imagine that it could be this good. I mean, I really thought about it, and I thought I had an idea that it was going to be over the top amazing, but I had no idea just how over the top and just how amazing that it is. Your Father cares. Our Father cares so much for us. His eye is on the sparrow. His eye is on your life. Every one of you, God's eye is on you, and Satan's eye is on you too, and it really confuses him when you worship God and when you have joy. I'll turn this to Pam, but we had she may remember who it was, but the dad story about this is the day. So there was, whose funeral was that? Was that Sister Helen Wishney's funeral? So, you know, my dad was pretty tone deaf, but he loved music. Yeah, was it Tony? He was telling it to. So he.
Tony was there.
So anyway, Dad was saying he wanted to sing. What he wanted to sing, this is what he had wanted, but he said it wrong. When we all get to heaven, right? What a day that will be. It's a slow worship song. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. So it was a beautiful, and that was one of her favorite songs, this very slow worship song. What a day that will be. So, but when he said to the music team, he said, we want to sing This Is the Day, which is extremely upbeat. This is the day that, and it's not what you think of as a funeral song, but isn't that appropriate? You know what? People, that would confuse Satan to all of a sudden these people are with the tambourines and, you know, Marion, you know, Moses and Marion she's leading the people with a tambourine and they're singing rejoicing songs. But it really is a day of rejoicing for our brother Gil. And well, I can't wait to see him again.
I'm going to close out with this thought. Some people think miracles are not for today. I'm going to help you out with that, okay? Miracles are definitely for today. FYI, I don't need a healing miracle in heaven. They're not for later. They're for today. I don't need a financial breakthrough when I get to heaven. They are for today. I need that now. And Jesus knows that. And that's why he gave his word. You know, faith comes from the word of God. Unbelief comes from no word of God. Faith comes from the word. I'll say that again. And unbelief comes from having no word of God in us. And when I prayed for Lori, this is what really took place. I have a checking account. And in that account, I have money in reserve. How many of you have ever heard that someday when we go to heaven, We're going to see all kinds of wonderful things we could have had here on earth, that we could have had faith and we could have believed for them, and they're in the storehouses of heaven. And I have money in the bank here on earth, and if I want something, if I need something, if I need a new refrigerator, if I need a new stove, I go to the bank and I write it out because that already belongs to me. I just have to access it by an act of my faith and a demand in the legal sense, not demand, God. In the legal sense, I am demanding that they hand over what belongs to me. And I am demanding that I receive my miracle. And that's what I did. I wrote a check for Lori. This belongs to you, Lori. God wants you to have children. And that's what we need to do. Let's stand. Alan's going to come, and we're going to, you know, we always say we're going to take communion, and I don't have a real issue with that, but I don't say we're going to take communion because I don't just grab anything from God. I receive communion. He gave, I receive. He didn't give and I grab. He gave and I receive with humility and love and honor, and we're going to receive and eat this together. And the next time we do this, I mean, the next time Jesus does this, it's going to be with us. And we're going to all be seated around a table, and Pastor Gil's going to be there, and my dad's going to be there. They're all together, just like we're all together. So let's do this. Alan's going to lead us.
Okay, but as we prepare ourselves to receive the Lord's Supper, you know, something I always like to say is God always gets the glory. And, you know, it's easy to say God gets the glory if you won the lottery. It's harder to say it if you got cancer. You got told you have cancer, right? So that's our lifestyle, I'm saying. God always gets the glory no matter what. But the great news that Pastor Ken and Pastor Pam gave us is what we know is that being on the other side is what it's all about. And that's the exciting thing. That's the exciting thing. But what we're going to do, again, is receive our Lord's Supper in remembrance of what he did for us, because that's what made it all possible. That's what made it all possible for us to go. And we're so thankful for that more than anything. So, Lord, we just take this bread and break it as you broke your body for us. And we receive it in the name of Jesus with thankfulness. And then we take the cup. Thankfulness in the name of Jesus, in remembrance of our Lord Jesus did for us. And we're so thankful for this. Lord Jesus, we're thankful you're with us always. In Jesus' name.
Thank you for downloading this podcast from CFC Jesus Ministries of Christian Fellowship Church in Chicago, Illinois. Support for this podcast comes from your generous gifts and donations. To find out more about CFC Jesus Ministries or our church, please visit www.cfcjesus.org.